Cool. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. A big, special, warm welcome to Andrew and MZ. As we were sitting here, Papa Ann, she's at that age where her teacher is everything to her. Teacher Joe needs to do all kinds of things and needs messages. And as we were sitting there and Papa Ann was seeing Andrew, she's going, "Daddy, there's your teacher." So I'm like, "Yes, Pups, you're right. So Andrew, it's not really nice to have you guys. Marnie, Lindsay, and the girls, and Marnie's mom, really nice to see you here. I'm super excited. As you guys know, we're going next year, end of January, we're going to Lusaka and Kitwe, and we're really excited about it. We're still trusting God for all the finances to come in, and so I would appreciate your prayers in that. But I'm excited. We've got about 30 people that want to go to Zambia, so we're really trusting God for provision in that. It's really nice to have you. Marnie says that Edgemead is his home. And we're really happy to have you here. Okay. So, last Sunday, I preached about Jesus being born into this circumstances that it kind of like, it's not the perfect circumstance. It's this 13-year-old girl that's not yet married. She's engaged to be married, and she gets filled with the Holy Spirit and bears this baby. And even today, in our standards here, that is like a very weird situation and kind of like a situation that we look at and go, "Whoa, you know, what happened there?" And even for Joseph himself, that said, like, he kind of was planning to kind of divorce her silently, you know, like without anybody knowing. And just that circumstance, it's such a humanly circumstance. Amen? And so I spoke about Jesus being the one that's able to understand and comprehend, fully comprehend what it means to be human. And so the challenges that we face in the season of hurts and family and finances and just looking back at the year and you're going like, what did this year do? Was it good? Was it bad? We sometimes in that place come to that hopeless place of going like, where are we? But Jesus is able to understand. He's able to know exactly who we are, exactly what we need to face. And that's actually in that, he's given us a confidence. He's given us a confidence that he understands. And that's in that, he makes a way for us. In Hebrews, we read that we can have confidence in drawing near to the throne of grace, that we might find help in our time of need, because he understands. And this morning, I want to kind of go on a little bit from there, because the Christmas story is a story of hope. It's a story of that for us, this child was born that was going to be the Savior. It's going to be this one that's going to liberate us. Back then, it was the Roman Empire, and they're going like, it's going to liberate us. There's this hope in our hearts towards him. And even today, although he has come and he's died on the cross and he's risen from the grave, we know that there's an even greater hope for us that lies ahead. This hope that he is coming back. There's hope that he's coming to fetch us as his children. And man, that is something that is inspiring. It's like one of those things that you really kind of, it builds you up when you start thinking about it, that he's coming back. Like in any situation that we're facing, kind of starts fading by the way. But sometimes what happens in these times, and like especially in the day of today, the world, when you look all over the world, it's a messy place. It's a really not great place. And so it's so easy to lose sight of the hope that we have in God. It's so easy to kind of fall into the ways of the world, to try and put all those protections and all this. And even then still, you can't really protect yourself. And you still find yourself in a hopeless place. But the Christmas story is the story of a promise that was made. The story of this child that's going to come back and he's going to liberate us. And man, that is something that we need to remember. I loved what Rudolf said this morning about what Christmas is about. As we give gifts, like it's actually, we actually testifying about the gift that has been given to us. Like there's nothing that can come close to that, but it's a gift that gives life and it keeps on giving life. And that is something I think in this time that we need to be careful to not miss it, because it's so easy to miss it in this season. And so I want to go this morning in the book of Matthew, in the chapters 3 and 4, we see where Jesus kind of, he gets baptized, and as he gets baptized and he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, from there he moves to Galilee. where he starts off his ministry. And in that place, he's not yet brought in disciples. He's still going to bring in disciples. But just before he does that, he goes into the wilderness. And here, this what scripture says. It says, let me just get it. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness so that Satan can tempt him. Like, have you thought of that? It's like God is leading him to the place where he knows the devil is waiting for him. And he's saying, you have to go to this so that you can be tempted. Again, there's something of the human side that God is busy working in, that God is busy putting into us, where he wants to have, for us to have this confidence that he understands fully. There's not one situation that he doesn't understand. And then we see Jesus, obviously, like, resisting the devil and speaking to the devil, but man will not just live by bread and bread alone, but by every word of God. And then we see Jesus starting his ministry in the province of Galilee. And then there's a part before he starts looking at his disciples where he prophesies and speaks about the prophecy that Isaiah prophesied. And I want us to quickly look at that this morning. And we will know this quite well, because the heading of Isaiah 9 is that old hymn. It's the reason for the season. Christmas is, for unto us a child was born. Like, I mean, everybody, whether you are a Buddhist, whether you are a Jehovah Witness, or it doesn't matter, you know, for unto us a child was born. When people say that, they know exactly what they are pointing towards. And in Isaiah 9 verse 2, it says this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Just keep it there. This is not speaking about the unsaved. This is speaking about the house of Jacob. It's the people that didn't yet choose to see the light, didn't yet choose to follow God's way. He's speaking to his people. And he's saying, I'm going to come, and we're going to go just there. But he's saying he's going to come for his people, and he's going to come to take them out of darkness and to show them light. Man, that is a hope this morning that I want to say to you, that no matter what darkness it is that you feel like you're facing, there's light. There's hope. We can have confidence in this, that Jesus knows exactly the amount of darkness. He actually knows it even more, but there's light for us. Oh, it gets me excited. Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7 says this, and here's the beautiful part. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hey? It's like just saying that just brings something of in your heart of knowing, like, we are part of this. This is our God. This is our hope. Is he's this wonderful, mighty, powerful God that understands. He's come to bring light. And then in verse 7, and this just makes you want to go, like, run into the middle of a battlefield, no matter whether you have armor on. It makes me always think of William Wallace, you know, these guys that doesn't have pants and suits. They've just got little skirts, you know, kilts, and there's no underpants. It's like, who needs underpants? This part makes me think of that. I want to just run without underpants and go, yeah! Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Huh? On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Man, that's a hope. And so Jesus starts his ministry, and he reminds the people in Galilee of exactly this thing. Of, I've come to be a light. I've come to take those who are in darkness out of darkness. I've come to bring them a place of light. And when you are in a place of light, like, the difference between when you stand in a dark room versus standing in a room that's fully lit, in a dark room, you have this little anxiousness. You know, you don't know what it is you might see or might not see. You might bump your toe. You might walk into a wall. But when there's light, it's almost like there's this relief from you can see where you're going. And that, in a sense, that's a hope. And I want to dig a little bit into this hope that we have there. John 1, verse 9 to 13 says this. The true light, again, Jesus. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus is the true light. He's come here so that each and every one of us might see, that we might know that there's no thing to fear. He was in the world and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, his people. His own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That light comes, and if you take hold of that light, there's something that happens where we become part. We get this confidence. There's this right for us to be children of God. And once we're in that place of where we are children of God, the hope changes. The hope looks different. It's not this wishful thinking. Like people say quite easily, I hope this would happen. Like Liverpool is always saying, I hope we will take the cup. But that hope is a wavering hope. That hope is a wavering hope. See, Jesus, the light that he brings, the hope that he brings, stands through everything. It doesn't have a good season. It doesn't have a bad season. It's always on point. It is the season. It is everything comes to that place. Everything is subject to that hope. That hope doesn't waver. God has called us to that place, and he's saying, I've actually set aside for you this hope that you can take hold of it, that you can take part of it, that you don't ever have to feel like, man, I'm so hopeless. For some of us, we sit sometimes, it's easy to actually put up a face. But at night, when you're alone at home, when you're sitting in your bed, and maybe wife or husband is sleeping already, or snoring, or whatever else, in that moment, for all of us, there's something of a dealing with not just the day, but a looking forward to tomorrow. And in that, there's either this place of, I'm excited, or there's this place of, oh, can't I just stay in this moment? Because I don't want to have to die over again, but also I don't want to face tomorrow. I just want to be here in the dark, where nobody sees me, where nobody, and God is actually saying, no. Brought you to come out of the dark. I want you to be in the light. There needs to be that expectation, that desire, that hunger for tomorrow. I was this week just reading a couple of articles, and I came across this article of artificial intelligence and just how it works. And they had this whole thing of just, I mean, I think if you have a new iPhone, like the way the iPhone opens, it's just, it looks at your face, and I think Samsung is also there, but you just look at your phone and your phone opens. And so I was kind of like thinking of this, like, man, if you have a phone that opens, you should be careful of what you say, because many times I'm sitting in a conversation and all of a sudden my Siri goes, ping, 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 did you say da-da-da-da, you know? And so if you look at your phone also and it goes, I just can imagine myself you being in that position where you say something that you shouldn't have said, and Siri is sending a message to that very person because it thinks you want to say that. And as you look at Siri, it opens your phone and sends a message. Like, that makes me anxious. Like, I don't know. But anyway, so it's our face. There's so much focus on our face. Now, I quickly want to show you a little video clip. Here we go. Look at her face, how it changes. So she starts off a little bit hungry, and then goes a little bit fuller lips and cheeks and eyes and everything. And this they call, and it's got an actual name, an Instaface, okay? From Instagram. You can go to a blank slide again. But what this does, what this represents is the culture that we live in at the moment. Of where people on Instagram and social media and Twitter, they shift everything in their face to not look like I've gone through life. To show how perfect my life is. People do Botox and all kinds of toxins to kind of just hide everything. Hide the wrinkles. Hide the, have fuller lips. Enrico is waiting for that day that the hair is going to, there's going to be a something on the hair. But we change our face. We spend so much time to make it look a certain way. That you have this person that sits in the middle of just absolute poverty, but they just find the right background and the right pose, and their life looks perfect. And they try and be that. Then I came to this, through this, you can go to, well, let me try and, this blew my mind. It's called the face gym, okay? So as if Botox and plastic surgery and these kind of things are not enough, you can actually now go to a face gym where you literally gym your face, okay? This is the culture that we live in. People trying to look a certain way, trying to go like, look at me, my life is perfect. I'm trying to hide everything that is like just sucking, but just, and people think the likes on Facebook, like there's another one. She's actually massaging, just, I think he tore a muscle in his cock again, and now, you can even play with balls, with your face, okay? I mean, this is ridiculous. See, but we do all these things to kind of make our face look a certain way. We don't want to show people the effects of life. See, we're putting our hope in these things. We're putting our hope on things that will disappoint. No matter how many likes you have, no matter how much money you have, no matter what position, what job, what, none of those things are going to give you a hope that you can stand on. Not one of those things. You can chase after him. You can even try and Botox back at it. It's not going to happen. And this is where I want to get to us today. Is that the hope that God brings is a hope that doesn't matter what your face looks like. That hope is not subject to this world. It carries you into the next. And that hope is not just a hope for what is to come, but there's a hope for today. For today, a present hope and a future hope. And let me read us a scripture. Hebrews 6, verse 19 to 20. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place, behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever. Man, there's hope that he brings. Being our high priest, being the one that understands, that's gone through all of this, there's a hope that he brings that is an anchor to our souls. Like we can't, it's a boat can be in the what kind of storm. If it's got an anchor, that boat is not moving. And for all of us in the season brings to us storms. But this is hope. This is hope, Jesus, who anchors us. He anchors us to himself. See, I don't think that we are meant, God doesn't see years or seasons or end of year. I don't think God has an end of year party for anything. He's got an end of world party, and I'm hoping for that one coming. No, he doesn't look at these things. And I think for us, sometimes we celebrate Easter, we celebrate Ascension Day, we celebrate Christmas, and we kind of make it these isolated situations. But see, a child was born to us so that this kingdom would have reign and reign forevermore. Not just on that day. It's every single day. It's he came so that we can walk in that hope. That hope can be made steadfast in us. That whatever we face, whatever the storm is, that there's this anchor that keeps us to him. And life still goes past, and we don't need the Botox. We don't need the face gym. When you start looking into your Bible and looking for hope and what it means, you'll actually find quite a lot of scripture that doesn't just speak about, oh, you've got this hope and it's so great and it's so... It's actually quite a lot about suffering. Quite a lot about the things that are difficult. Romans 5, and this is definitely, I think, one of my favorite scriptures. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Some other translation says, this hope, and this hope cannot be quenched. It's like a hope that can't be quenched. It can't be something thrown onto the fire and then the fire is dead. No, it's a hope that goes through the fire. Or through the water that's poured on the fire. It's a hope that does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Another one. And we always miss this part of the scripture. But Jeremiah 29, we know what verse 11 says, that for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, is plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope, a future. But the very verse just before that says this, and this is God speaking. It's not, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon. Okay, just stop there. When 70 years are completed, meaning from where I'm standing right now, there's still a 70 years that needs to go that way. Because they're not in a good space. It's a 70 years after this. God is saying, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. What's this place? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, or declares the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Man, talk about a hope that is both for today, but also for the future. 70 years. Who's willing to go through 70 years? Hey? We go 7 minutes? Huh? There's a hope. There's a future and a hope that God has set out for us. And I just felt like in this time, for us to make sure that we build our hope on the right place. That we set our hope not on the things that can fall away or fade away or burn away, but that we actually bring ourselves to Jesus. Knowing that he understands exactly what we're going through in this time, what we're going through in the world. He's not caught off guard by what's going on in the world. He knows exactly what's going on. And through all of these things, he's weaving his plan. He's introducing and injecting his hope so that his people will have help in the time of need. And so this morning, I want to ask you, that we this morning say, Jesus, I want you to be my hope. I want you to be the place of where I put my heart, where I put my expectations. I want you to be that hope. Because when I look at you, I realize nothing shifts you. You shift everything else. And so when I look at you, I put my hope in the fact that you are coming back. That you are coming to come and do and be who you are meant to be. Amen. Can we close our eyes? As your eyes are closed, I'm going to read you a scripture. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're in that place where we have this opportunity to set our hope on Him fully.